Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents The Rants by Dennis Miller.
The Religious Right. Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here, but don't these radical religious right leaders scare you just a little? I'm not talking about good, simple religious folk here. I empathize with you people. I know you're frightened. It looks like the bad guys are winning. And I know you want to do the good Christian thing and help some of the bad guys, but you're probably preaching to the unconvertible. This is a long trail ride, and occasionally a satanic heifer or two is going to head over the ridge and go off on their own. Let them go. Quit trying to set God up on blind dates with people he has nothing in common with. Well, anyway, you're good people. I got no quarrel with you, Atticus. I'm talking about the overzealous ones, the ones with the bloodless, glazed-over prophets of the Caribbean look. You know, the ones who look like the guys who kept Howard Hughes alive those last 3 years. Let's run down our roster of modern-day Pharisees. Jerry Falwell, with his big hillbilly grin, concealing his hatred for you and the fun you can have with your nasty little genitals. Then we got Pat Robertson, the Dixie charlatan who contends he held counsel with God, saw Jesus, and has it on good authority from the Holy Ghost that Cuba has an arsenal of nuclear weapons aimed directly at the United States. And our good friend Ollie North, who quivers with religious fervor while conveniently forgetting he was a belligerent liar who abused the authority of his position. You know, I have no doubt that God will forgive Lieutenant Colonel North one day. I just don't think our courts should have. These modern-day Torquemadas can't wait to seize the reins and begin slaughtering the non-believers. And if you don't think they'll do it, if you don't think that you'll be on the short list for a public roasting a la Joan of Arc, well, you better stop dancing around the pagan maypole and think again, Caligula. Now, I am sure to many of those in the radical right, I probably appear to be a bitter, cranky pragmatist with the mouth of a stevedore and the soul of a heretic. But I do, believe it or not, consider myself to be a Christian. And I'm sorry, you just don't go shooting doctors. If a judgment's to be made, well, God gets to make it. Not you, him. You are Barney Fife. Keep your bullet in your shirt pocket, all right? Now, God is Andy Taylor. If abortion is wrong, and I believe in many instances it is, somewhere down the line, God's going to let you know about it. And believe me, God paybacks are an eternal bitch. Somebody else's abortion is none of your business. And listen, if you really believe that your God is telling you to kill an abortionist in his name, then you got to crush some tinfoil on your antenna, pal, because you're getting some heavy, heavy interference. And you know, while I'm at it, I don't care what arcane passage you pull out of the Old Testament and run through your Jeremiah begat Jedediah Dakota ring, one of the definitive tenets of Christianity is tolerance. Trust me, there's no version of the Bible that says love thy neighbor unless he's a Peter Allen fan. Any supposedly Christian doctrine must have at its core a belief in the concept of unqualified love for your fellow man. Unless, of course, he proves himself to be a total asshole. Sure, then you can ditch him. God understands that. I mean, who do you think booked Satan's flight? What he can understand is turning against someone because you don't happen to agree with their sexual preference. Forget your linear biblical interpretation that tells you to ostracize gays and follow your heart. It's like when your driving test instructor would tell you to run the stop sign, and you would, and then he'd flunk you, and you'd say, but you told me to, and he'd say, sorry, but you never run a stop sign, and you never carpet bomb a group of people with hate because they're different from you. Case closed, Tail Gunner Joe. Intolerance should extend ideas as well. A schoolbook cannot corrupt your child, especially one whose main characters are a scarecrow, a tin man, and a cowardly lion. And if you truly think your kid's character depends on prayer, then damn it, pray with your kid at home. Stop fobbing off on a public school system your responsibilities as a parent. The schools are there to teach your kids to read, write, and add skills they will need if they are going to apply for and wisely invest their unemployment checks one day. And if you're sold on prayer as a diving board into the day, get up a few minutes early, forgo the trip to 7-Eleven for a Jeroboam of Colombian blend, sit down with the kids you profess to love so much, and lead them in prayer. Look, I realize this is America. Everybody has the right to organize. The Democratic Party should maybe try it somewhere along the line. But you know something? The members of the radical religious right have to get it through their skulls. Separation of church and state. Separate, not together, apart, like Bert and Lonnie. One here, one there. The founding fathers set it up like that because back home in merry old England, they witnessed scenes of theocratic horror that would have made even Quentin Tarantino puke. I can only hope that the radical right's grab for political power will eventually prove to be their holy Waterloo. I know we don't like to vote. Marking your ballot nowadays is like choosing between the 3 a.m. showing of The Beastmaster on Showtime and the 3 a.m. showing of The Beastmaster 2 on Cinemax. But the less we involve ourselves in the political process, the more special interest groups and fanatics move in. So vote, and remember this when you're alone in the booth with just you and your lever. The radical right believes the word right does not simply denote their placement on the political spectrum, but also their sanctimoniously smug assertion that right is exactly what they are on any and all issues. Amen. Of course, that's just my opinion. I could be wrong. Our legal system. Now, I don't want to get off in a rant here, but you know the drill. You're walking home from the Froger shop one night. You're stopped by a young drifter who wants directions. And a smoke, if you have one. You don't. You're sorry, but you don't smoke. Okay, he says. And as you walk away, he shoots you in the back of the head, your half-eaten razzleberry Frogert, and your left eye spattering a young woman 20 yards across the street. Shortly thereafter, the police happen to pick up the young man for jaywalking and find him with a still warm gun in his pocket and your still cold cone in his hand. He is then identified by the woman and arraigned. But then, as you watch, perched on a hot poker in the eighth concentric circle of Dante's Easy Bake, the legal system starts to kill you all over again. The gun isn't admissible as evidence because it was found without probable cause. After all, they had only stopped him for jaywalking at that point. And the woman is discredited as an eyewitness because she usually wears glasses, and that dusky night she wasn't wearing them. The truth being, she just needs them for reading. Besides, the defense attorney reveals she lives in a neighborhood with a porn theater, and what does that make her? Plus, this fellow who shot you, his attorney will tell you he was once squat-humped by a good-humor man, and you were taunting him with your razzleberry Frogert delight, weren't you? Now, as you stand there next to Yossarian in the great beyond and watch this cruel and ironic Catch-22 unfold, this insane sequence of events that leads up to the dismissal of all charges against the man who ended your life on that fine summer evening, as you watch this bizarre, almost synaptic set of occurrences fall into place like a chain of perverse dominoes that has been kicked over by Rube Goldberg, all you can think to yourself is, hey, I know where I've seen this before. Mousetrap! And if you think I was stretching it with that little parable, well, just look at the newspaper, folks. Within the last year, 240 pounds of cocaine was disallowed as evidence in a drug case because the trooper who found it stopped the suspect's car for failure to display a front license plate. The case was thrown out because legally, Pennsylvania only requires a rear plate. Well, you know something? That is just exquisite bullshit. And I know that every ACLU hysteric in the country is jumping up and screaming, rules of evidence, rules of evidence. But I think I speak for the general public, guys, when I say take your nitpicking, neurotic little rules of evidence and stick them up your understanding ass. Because quite frankly, I haven't seen judgment this bad since I lost to Sinbad on Star Search. Not that I dwell on that. The frightening reality is every day this society seems to make its legal decisions in much the same way the Archies pick their vacation spots. Blindfold Juggy, give him a dart, and spin the globe. And what do most of these mindless decisions have in common? Well, 12 things. The jury! The entire American legal system is based on the premise of trial by jury, and the only way you can get on a jury is if you prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that you don't know shit about the case you're about to try. And you know something? After we've picked them, we then load the juries down with such a yoke of admonition, stipulation, and cautionary notes from the judge that they begin to suffer from the jurisprudence equivalent of sexual performance anxiety. Nobody can go into the jury room anymore and achieve a good, solid Code of Hammurabi hard-on because good old-fashioned common sense and a primal notion of right and wrong have been supplanted by...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?